King of the Crocodiles, a tale from India. Once upon a time, a farmer went out to look at his fields by the side of the river and found to his dismay that all his young green wheat had been trodden down and nearly destroyed by a number of crocodiles, which were lying lazily amid the crops like great logs of wood. He flew into a great rage, bidding them to go back to the water, but they only laughed at him. Every day the same thing occurred. Every day the farmer found the crocodiles lying in his young wheat, until one morning he completely lost his temper, and when they refused to budge, he began to throw stones at them. At this they rushed on him fiercely, and he, quaking with fear, fell on his knees, begging them not to hurt him. "We will hurt neither you nor your young wheat," said the biggest crocodile, "if you will give us your daughter in marriage. But if not, we will eat you for throwing stones at us." The farmer, thinking of nothing but saving his own life, promised the crocodiles what they wanted of him. But when, on his return home, he told his wife what he had done, she was very vexed. For their daughter was a beautiful girl and was betrothed to a young man of a very rich family. So his wife persuaded the farmer to disregard the promise made to the crocodiles and proceed with his daughter's marriage as if nothing had happened. But when the wedding day drew near, the bridegroom died, and there was an end to the business. The farmer's daughter, however, was so beautiful that she was very soon asked in marriage again. But this time her suitor fell sick of a lingering illness. In short, so many misfortunes occurred to all concerned that at last even the farmer's wife acknowledged the crocodiles must have something to do with the bad luck. By her advice, the farmer went down to the river bank to try to induce the crocodiles to release him from his promise, but they would not hear of it. They threatened fearful punishments if the agreement were not fulfilled at once. So the farmer returned home to his wife very sorrowful. She, however, was determined to resist to the utmost and refused to give up her daughter. The next day, the poor girl fell down and broke her leg. Then the mother said, "These demons of crocodiles will certainly kill us all. Better to marry our daughter to a strange house than to see her die." Accordingly, the farmer went down to the river and informed the crocodiles that they might send the bridal procession to fetch the bride as soon as they chose. The next day, a number of female crocodiles came to the bride's house with trays full of beautiful clothes and henna for staining the bride's hands. They behaved with the utmost politeness and carried out all the proper ceremonies with the greatest precision. Nevertheless, the beautiful bride wept, saying, "Oh, mother, are you marrying me into the river? I shall be drowned." In due course, the bridal procession arrived, and all the village was wonderstruck at the magnificence of the arrangements. Never was there such a retinue of crocodiles, some playing instruments of music, others bearing trays full of sweetmeats, garments, and jewels, and all dressed in the richest of stuffs. In the middle, a perfect blaze of gold and gems, sat the king of the crocodiles. The sight was of so much significance, somewhat comforted the beautiful bride. Nevertheless, she wept bitterly when she was put into the gorgeous bride's palanquin and bore off to the river bank. She arrived at the edge of the stream, and the crocodiles dragged the poor old girl out, forcing her into the water despite her struggles. For thinking she was going to be drowned, she screamed in terror. But lo and behold, no sooner had her feet touched water than it divided before her, and rising up on either side, showing a path leading to the bottom of the river, down which the bridal party disappeared, leaving the bride's father, who had accompanied her so far upon the bank, very much astonished at the marvelous sight. So many months passed without further news of the crocodiles. The farmer's wife wept because she had lost her daughter, declaring that the girl was really drowned, and her husband's fine story about the stream dividing was merely an invention. Now, when the king of the crocodiles was on the point of leaving with his bride, he had given a piece of brick to her father with the words, "If you ever want to see your daughter, go down to the river, throw this brick as far as you can into the stream, and you will see what you will see." Remembering this, the farmer said to his wife, "Since you are so distressed, I will go myself to see if my daughter be alive or dead." Then he went to the river bank. Taking a brick, he threw it ever so far into the stream, and immediately the waters rolled back before his feet, leaving a dry path to the bottom of the river. It looked so inviting, spread with clean sand and bordered by flowers, that the farmer hastened along it without the least hesitation, until he came to a magnificent palace with a gold roof and a shining, glittering diamond walls. Lofty trees and beautiful gardens surrounded it, and a sentry paced up and down before the gateway. "Whose palace is this?" asked the farmer of the sentry. The sentry replied that it belonged to the king of the crocodiles. "My daughter was at least a splendid house to live in," thought the farmer. "I only wish her husband were half as handsome." Then, turning to the sentry, he asked if his daughter was within. "Your daughter," returned the sentry. "What should she do here?" "She married the king of the crocodiles. I want to see her." At this, the sentry burst out laughing. "A likely story indeed," he cried. "What, my master married your daughter? Ha 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 ha." Now the farmer's daughter was sitting beside an open window in the palace, waiting for her husband to return from hunting. She was happy as the day was long, for you must know that in his own river kingdom, the king of the crocodiles was the handsomest young prince anybody had ever set eyes upon. It was only when he was on shore that he assumed the form of a crocodile. So, what with her magnificent palace and splendid young prince, the farmer's daughter had been too happy to even think of her old home. But now, hearing a strange voice speaking to the sentry, her memory awakened. She recognized her father's voice. Looking out, she saw him there, standing in his poor clothes in the glittering court. She longed to run and fling herself into his arms, but she dared not disobey her husband, who had forbidden her to go out or to let anyone into the palace without his permission. So all she could do was lean out the window to call to him, saying, "Oh, dearest father, I am here. Oh, wait till my husband, the king of the crocodiles, returns, and I will ask him to let you in. I dare not without his leave." The father, though overjoyed to find his daughter alive, did not wonder she was afraid of her terrible husband, so he waited patiently. In a short time, a troop of horsemen entered the court. Every man was dressed from head to foot in armor made of glittering silver plates, but in the center of all rode a prince clad in gold, bright, burnished gold. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, the handsomest, most gallant young prince that was ever seen. The poor farmer fell at the gold-clad horseman's feet and cried, "O king, cherish me, for I am a poor man whose daughter was carried off by the dreadful king of the crocodiles." The gold-clad horseman smiled and said, "I am the king of the crocodiles. Your daughter is a good and obedient wife. I will be very glad to let you see her." After this, there was great rejoicing and merrymaking. But when a few days had passed away in feasting, the farmer became restless and begged to be allowed to take his daughter home with him for a short visit, in order to convince his wife the girl was happy and well. But the crocodile king refused, saying, "Not so, but if you like, I will give you a house and land here, some land here, where you can dwell with us." The farmer said he must ask his wife first. So he returned home, taking several bricks with him to throw into the river and make the stream divide. The farmer's wife would not agree at first to live in the Crocodile Kingdom. But she consented to go there on a visit, and afterwards became so fond of the beautiful riverside country that she was constantly going to see her daughter, the queen, till at length the old couple never returned to shore, but lived altogether in the Crocodile Kingdom with their son-in-law, the King of the Crocodiles.